Be with you.
Also with you.
Welcome in the name of our crucified and risen Savior and Lord. Great to see you. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We continue our 40 days of love, our journey through the epistle of 1 John. I encourage you to be checking that out during your Lenten devotional time. Take you about 10 minutes to read through the five chapters of 1 John. We'll be preaching through them. We started last Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. We'll go all the way to Easter Sunday, and we pray God's blessings on our Lenten devotion tonight. Love and the new commandment. Love and the new commandment. You'll hear that in our long gospel reading as well. A couple of words on our worship service. Our opening hymn we heard in the prelude, Glory Be to Jesus, 433. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. We are not using a worship insert for this evening. The readings that you'll need are printed out for you in the bulletin, and our gospel reading will be the first of the five-part passion narrative of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, part one, the Lord's Supper. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And also tonight we hear the first of our six confirmation essays, and we are very happy and excited about that. You will notice that we are vicarless tonight, and our vicar is a very sick young man and in need of our prayers. Some of you know that Vicar Short is a cancer survivor. Some of you don't know that. He didn't want us to make a big deal out of that. He didn't want anybody to treat him any different or to feel sorry for him. On January 2nd of this year, he was declared to be cancer-free and didn't have to go back to the doctor for a year. So all of us kind of took things for granted that his health was fine. He was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when he was, I believe, a freshman in college. So, Saturday morning we had elders and everything was fine. Sunday morning he came to church and he was yellow. And some of you noticed that about his skin tone on Sunday. Pastor Morundi and I impressed upon him the importance of going to the doctor, and he did. And long story short, the results made it to his cancer doctor in Omaha. He was admitted to the cancer center at the UNMC on Sunday afternoon, where he remains hospitalized to this day. He had his first chemo treatment already. He had a blood transfusion early this morning. He had another one later this afternoon. He has a biopsy scheduled for early in the morning. And if everything goes well, we're hopeful that by the end of the week, he'll be back here in Lincoln and he can continue his treatments and blood transfusions here in Lincoln at one of the local hospitals. So, Vicar Short is a very, very sick young man, and he needs our prayers, needs our encouragement, and as we have been hearing and will continue to hear over the next several weeks, God has loved us in Jesus Christ, and he teaches us that as we have been so loved, we ought to love one another. And this is a case where we have lots and lots of opportunity to show love to Vicar, to his family, to our congregation, as we deal with this together. So, that being said, and a good chance Vicar is listening to us on the radio right now as we speak, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Your love, which is manifested in the gift of Jesus, whose perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Heavenly Father, teach us to live in that love and to love one another as you have so graciously loved us. You and you alone are the great physician of body and soul. You chasten and you heal. We beg you to show mercy to your servant, Vicar Short. Reach out your healing hand to him. Bless the doctors, the nurses, the caregivers, the surgeon with alertness and skill. Heavenly Father, if it be your will, we ask you to drive this sickness from his body. We are bold to pray for healing, full and complete. And we pray as you have taught us, not our will, but thy will be done. Heavenly Father, bless Vicar, his parents, his extended family, and his church family here at Good Shepherd, that we would truly love as we have been loved. Bless our worship this evening. May the things that we do and say be to your honor and to your glory. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of love, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. We sing hymn 433, Glory Be to Jesus. Vespers, page 229. Page 229. Please stand as you're able. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
worship folder. We will read Psalm 32 together. Blessed is the one whose
transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach you. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We continue with the office hymn number 700, Love Divine, All Love Excel. Please be seated. Hymn 700.
Thank you.
confirmads and their confession of faith. Tonight we have Sarah Stepp, and she will be delivering an essay on Galatians 3, 27 to 29.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I am in the seventh grade. My confirmation verse is Galatians 3, 27 through 29, which is as follows. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Luther says in one of his sermons on Galatians 3:27 that law states that we should imitate Jesus because Jesus has left us an example to follow. The law asks us to be perfect in every way. Not once can you ever think about sinning. The law condemns us because we can't even spend half of a millisecond without sinning. We can hold back from something called actual sin, but we can't hold back original sin or sugarcoat it. Original sin is the sin we receive from our parents and their parents before them and their parents before them, all the way back to Adam and Eve, who were tempted and fell. We were in darkness. We delight in darkness. We need no light, or so we think. We were bound to a fate of death. God chose his people, the Jews, who are more special, but they showed only ignorance. When he came to his own, yet his own received him not. John 1, verse 8. This verse talks about when they crucified him, when they rejected him. He came to rescue them, yet they turned away and said they needed no rescue. We were to die alone. However, God did not leave us to die alone. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross and take away our sin and everyone's sin. But we cannot receive these gifts without instruction of them and believe in Jesus. In the Old Testament, there are many divisions, as it says in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. Another division not noted was in the temple. When the temple was first designed, there was a curtain between the people and God. God was so pure and we were so impure. How could we possibly see eye to eye? Well, we can't. So Jesus stepped in for us, and on the day he died on the wretched tree, the curtain was ripped in two, as it says in Luke 23:45, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Just like the curtain was torn in two, so are these divisions. And the first time we see these divisions torn is when Peter sees the blanket come down with all the unclean animals, and God said to eat them. Although these divisions still exist in our world today, because this is a sinful world, we all receive the benefits, and in heaven it will not matter like they do in this world. In Galatians 3:29, St. Paul says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and if you are Christ, then you are heirs, Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. The promise was about our Savior, Jesus, and was given to the Jews, not the Gentiles, as Psalm 147, verses 19 through 20 states. He declares his word to Jacob. He has not dealt with any other nation. However, we know by faith we receive the blessings of this promise. This verse means a lot to me, and in many odd ways, but it is still my favorite verse, which is why I chose Galatians 3:27 through 29. My overall reason I adore this verse is because it has the four kinds of love of Greek, the Greek language. We have only one word for love, while the Greek language has four words for love, which goes to show that love can be present everywhere. Agape, eros, storge, and phileo are the four words for love. Agape love is sacrificial love, like Jesus giving his life for us. Eros love is romantic love, like between husband and wife. Storge love is the love parents have for their children and children have for their parents. Phileo love is between friends. I also believe this verse shows me my sin and makes me want to repent, and then shows me the way to my Savior, which is impossible without the Holy Spirit working through me every day. As John 3:16 states, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. As I learned this year in confirmation, the first half is about objective justification and the second half is about subjective justification. I also believe, as I stated earlier, everyone is saved, but only those who believe get the benefits. One way Pastor taught me to imagine this is there is a Thanksgiving dinner on the table and you can smell it from the living room. But are you benefiting from it? The answer is no, you aren't. However, when you go into the dining room and eat the food, you are. The same can be said about Jesus' gifts. You may know about them, but if you don't believe they actually exist, then you aren't receiving the gift. Christ's death and resurrection is the heart of every Christian writing, including confirmation essays, but everyone expresses it in their own words. Everyone needs Jesus for forgiveness or for courage. Without Jesus, I wouldn't have the courage to make the vow to die for the faith. I believe everyone in the end will have had their turn to either turn or stay in the faith, but sometimes it is in different ways that it presents itself. However, I believe everything Pastor taught me, and he said what the Bible teaches, which is why Jesus' death and rising means so much to me. That my sins are forgiven, so is everyone's. I know I'm saved. I am tied to the promise of Abraham, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Church of Galatia. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise.
I know some seminary students that wouldn't tackle that verse and do as well theologically as Sarah just did. Great job. Great job. Now she's off to sing in the choir. Our scripture reading for tonight, the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four Gospels, part one, the Lord's Supper. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, drew near. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and scribes assembled with the elders of the people in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted how they might take Jesus craftily and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people," for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. He went his way to the chief priests and captains and spoke with them how he might betray Jesus to them. They were glad to hear him. He said to them, "What will you give me to betray him to you?" They promised to give him money and agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. He accepted, and from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" He said to them, "Go into the city, and when you have entered the city, watch for a man bearing a pitcher of water. When he meets you, follow him into the house where he enters. You shall say to the man who lives there, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They came into the city and found it as he had told them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the apostles with him. As they were eating, he said, "I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Truly I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." There also was a strife among them as to which of them should be accounted the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. It shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest, and he that is chief, as he that serves. For who is greater, he that sits at table or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at the table? But I am among you as a servant. You are they who have continued with me in my temptations. I appoint you to a kingdom, as my Father has appointed me. You shall eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not now know. But after these things, you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been bathed does not need to wash more than his feet, for he is clean altogether. You are clean, but not all of you." He knew who would betray him. That was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and it is good that you say this, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have done this to show you the way to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak of you all. I know whom I have chosen. The scripture must be fulfilled, 'He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me.' Already now I tell you of this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives anyone whom I shall send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, his spirit was in turmoil. He bore witness and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another dumbfounded about whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Simon Peter said to him, "Ask who it is of whom he is speaking." That disciple who was reclining on Jesus' chest said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "It is the one to whom I shall give the piece of bread after I have dipped it." He dipped the piece of bread he had in his hand and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After the piece of bread had been dipped, Satan entered into that one. Jesus said to him, "What you are doing, do quickly." No one at the table knew what the purpose was of what Jesus had said to him. Because Judas kept the money bag, some thought Jesus had told him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. When that man had received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him, God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself, and at once he will glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. For this I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Lenten Responsory, page 231. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, or you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies.
A reading from St. John's first letter, the second chapter. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon I just read, 1 John chapter 2, dear friends in Christ. All you need is love. Love makes the world go round. Love is my religion. Love trumps hate. Make love, not war. Love is the commandment that everyone agrees with. The commandment that has no opponents. Love is the oldest, the most basic commandment written on the tablet of the human heart. Those who hate know that they should love, and those who love know that it is the right thing to do. It's ingrained in us, even if we don't always do it, that to love is good and to hate is evil. When John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes to us, commanding us to love, he's really saying nothing new at all, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. This is nothing new. Nothing different than all the gurus, all the wise teachers throughout history have declared. Love your neighbor. The golden rule, given again by Jesus, is no innovation. Love is the foundation of every religion. Every system of faith in a god or gods has its ethic of love. When scholars or theologians or the real intelligent people, the talking heads on cable news networks, want to talk about what unites us, what unites all the religions in the world, they will talk about an ethic of love. Now, certainly, many religions, and we can name a few, call on you to selectively love only those who are your fellow adherents. But love for the other, at least if they believe the same as you, is still the foundation of their system of ethics. Every religion calls for love. And that's why every religion has a place for a caring, loving, compassionate Jesus. The kind of Jesus who says things that we can cross-stitch, and put on your wall. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the solution to the world's problems. Every political cause calls for love, even if that love is a bit selective. Some espouse love for tradition and a desire to conserve it. Others espouse a desire for progress, a desire to expand it. Love of the disaffected, the abused, the marginalized motivates people to go out and tell the world to love. For love is tolerance. Tolerance of any behavior, any person. That is how the old commandment is defined in our day. Love declares acceptance of any behavior, any lifestyle. Love means that our differences make no difference. Love means that we should not judge one another. Love means that I affirm and celebrate any choice of life or belief. Love is selfish. I love because it makes me feel good. I love to gain votes. I love to avoid the hate of the world, for the world hates only those who do not love. I love to make my God happy with me. That's the religious twist on this selfish love. I love others because my God is going to reward me. And certainly the world's going to like it too. Other people, the real people that have real needs, well, they're simply there to give me opportunity to earn some brownie points before the God I worship. I climb over them to get to heaven. You see, tolerance and selfishness go together. Love for any behavior and any choice signals to the world that you are one of those who has been awakened, one of those who truly lives what all the religions claim to teach. They will know you are enlightened by your love, by your love. They will know you're enlightened by your love. That's the world's take on an old commandment. Its interpretation of the words of Jesus, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You see, the old commandment, it's good. God gave it. God wrote it on our hearts. It's good. But we are not so good. We have twisted that old commandment to fit our own desires. We have called love what God has not called love. And therefore, the commandment must be declared again. The old made new. Hear what St. John says. "At the same time, it is a new commandment I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." How is that old commandment made new? Only in Jesus. Jesus Christ is love incarnate. All true love comes from him and is shown in him. In him, the darkness passes away, and the true light shines. The commandment is new in him and in you, because you are in him. The new part of the new commandment is Jesus, who makes all things new. "This is my commandment," Jesus said. We heard it in our text, "that you love one another as I have loved you." Every religion, every political cause has the first part, love one another. Only Jesus has the second, "as I have loved you." The old commandment is defined in our world by selfishness. In Christ, the new commandment is sacrificial. We love as Christ has loved us, and Christ loved us by sacrificing himself for our sake. St. John said it with that fancy $10 word, "He is the propitiation for our sins." Jesus laid aside his glory. He put away his power and authority in order to sacrificially, humbly love you and me. We do not love to climb the ladder to God. We do not love to earn something before our Creator. We do not love to signal our virtue to others on Facebook, to make sure the world knows how enlightened we truly are. That, dear friends, is the worst form of hypocrisy and reveals a heart still in darkness. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. We love as Christ first loved us. He put us all ahead of himself, laying down his life for his friends, for you and for me. And that's how we love. We place others ahead of ourselves. For the love that Christ has shown us is exactly the love this world needs. As John tells us, "Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is not cause for stumbling." The old commandment is defined in our world by tolerance. In Christ, the new commandment is governed by God's word. John says, "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." Dear friends, it is not loving to encourage someone to live in their sin. It is not loving to ignore the vast differences between the religions of this world or the denominations of Christianity. It is love to point out sin and drive to repentance. It is love to proclaim the true doctrine in the face of error. You see, tolerant love leads people to hell. True love calls to repentance and then preaches the sweet words of the gospel. In that way, we follow our Lord. The love of Jesus gives us a pattern for our love for each other, but it's much more than that. The love of Jesus brings forth our love. That is what makes this new commandment new. Never before has God shown his love to us in this way, by sending his only begotten Son into the flesh to suffer and die so that we may not perish but have eternal life. Our love for others flows from his love to us. Dear friends, we cannot give out what we haven't first received. And so here, in this place, we are filled to the brim with Christ's love, and then we go out into the world overflowing with that love, showing that love to others. And when we fail, and we will certainly fail, his love forgives. His sacrificial love is for us, not simply as an example, but truly for you and the forgiveness of your sins. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In love, Jesus stands as our advocate before our Father, interceding for us with his shed blood and his suffering and death. He is our propitiation. That fancy word which means that he satisfies all the demands of God's law upon us. He bore our sins. Our sins, which are all, every single one of them, rooted in a lack of love. A lack of love for God, a lack of love for our neighbor. And he bore them to the cross, and he died for them there. And not only for our sin, but for the sin of the world. That is the love that this world needs. In love, the church extends Christ's love to the nations, forgiving sins, baptizing sinners into Christ. In love, the church proclaims Christ as the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world, the only real source of salvation for sinners desperately in need of grace. Sinners like you and me. The world doesn't want too much to do with this love. In fact, many will receive it not as love at all, but instead as hate. But for those who believe, Christ's love is light shining in the darkness. And they will dwell with you, with me, in the light of Christ for eternity. in his name. Amen. We stand and we sing our canticle. Canticle tonight is the Magnificat, page 231.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, in the name of love. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's love in Jesus would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Oh,
continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, page 233. Please stand as you're able. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayers that are listed in our worship folder, we pray for Vicar Short, hospitalized in Omaha. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy upon us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn us from all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. We give thanks to you this day for the gift of life. Brooks Jesse Smith, recently baptized. James Michael Wagner and Mason Ryan Scholard, to be baptized on Sunday. Roland Arthur Joseph Kranz, born this past Sunday to Good Shepherd members Mark and Bethany Kranz in Fort Wayne. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this life. We look forward to the new birth of waters of holy baptism. Teach us to love life. Into your merciful hands, we commend all those who are sick or suffering this day. Especially, we lay before you Alvin, Lyle, Deborah, Vicar Short, and all those who are in need. Praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. And help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, 878. Abide with me, 878.
Oh,
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Pure love, love incarnate, love for you and for the life of the world. If you didn't get Good Shepherd News and Notes from this last Sunday, they're on the back shelf there. Also, the Lenten devotionals are on the shelf as well, purple cover. And we ran out of those last Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, so help yourself, pass them around, and they've got our entire Lenten schedule for the remainder of Lent and Holy Week and Easter and all that stuff as well. We have Bible study in the fellowship hall. Pastor Kirk is going to cover for Vicar tonight. Choir up in the balcony. We will have Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll continue our study of the book of Hebrews. Early tomorrow morning, it's scheduled. Anything can happen and change there, but early in the morning, Vicar is scheduled for his surgery, so keep him in your prayers and his family as well, and we pray that the great physician of body and soul would continue to care for him and bless him and ultimately heal him. Pastor, anything else? Thanks to the school folks for the meal tonight. We'll continue to have our Lenten schedule for the next four Wednesdays, worship at 4 and 6:30, fellowship meal in between, and help us pass that word as well. I think that's all. Have a great day and week in the love of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the live broadcast of the Wednesday evening service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church with Pastor Poppy and Pastor Mirande. Join us for worship on Sundays at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church is located at 3825 Wildbriar Lane, just north of Old Cheney on 40th Street. If you have questions or would like to talk to Pastor Poppy or Pastor Mirande, please call at 402-423-7639.